Welcome, my friends, to this week's podcast. In Christian communities all around the world this week, the third week of Advent, we light a candle for joy. The joy of Christ in our lives. And that's what we'll be looking at today in our scripture passage and in our music, the joy of Christ. And it all gets started with a beautiful piece of music by our music director, Belinda, as she shares with us a lovely setting of O Come Emmanuel. Now, O Come Emmanuel is a hymn that is more than 1,200 years old, one of the oldest hymns we'll ever have on the podcast. And it was finally put down to the music that you hear it today in 1851 in an old hymnal. And this tune is also thousands of years old. And by 1861, John Mason Neal translated the ancient Latin in which the hymn was originally found into English. And so it's mostly attributed that by 1861, our present version came into being. The ancient Latin text, Veni, Veni, Emmanuel, paired with this ancient tune from thousands of years ago. And so we begin with our call to worship with a beautiful Christmas carol, O Come, Emmanuel. Thank you. Today's scripture reading is from the second chapter of Matthew, and once again, it's a very familiar Christmas story about the Magi, the wise men, the astrologers, who came from the east all the way to Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem to see the newborn king. So always pay attention to the end of this scripture, where when the star stops over the stable, the Magi are filled with joy. Listen to the second chapter of Matthew. Now in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Our hymn today is a beautiful Christmas carol, a fairly modern one. It was penned in 1991 with lyrics by Mark Lowry and music by Buddy Green. Michael English first recorded it on his self-titled album in 1991, and it asked the question, "Mary, did you know?" Just a simple question. How much did Mary know about the baby she was giving birth to and the child that she was raising? Since 1991 and its introduction on that album, it's been recorded hundreds of times, not the least of which Kenny Rogers, Winona Judd, Clay Aiken, CeeLo Green, most recently Pentatonix, and in 1999 it was even turned into a stage play. So here is today's version, sung by my daughter Elizabeth, and joined by our friend Quincy and our friend Bob on the violin, my son Ben, who is the recording engineer and also offers guitars and vocals. So here's today's hymn, "Mary, Did You Know?"
Save our sons and down. Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Mary, did you know your baby boy is Lord of all creations? Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you
when the Magi, the wise men, the astrologers, found that the star had stopped over the stable in Bethlehem, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It's a marvelous moment in this wonderful old story about the Magi coming to worship the baby king, a moment in which they are filled with joy. I want to tell you a little bit about Henri Nouwen, one of the most joyful authors I've ever come in contact with. Now, I was first attracted to Henri Nouwen in an early book that we studied in seminary. It was called Clowning in Rome. I liked the title so much that I decided that if I had to do an essay on any Henri Nouwen book, it would be on that one, Clowning in Rome. And in it, he has the following description. Henri describes spiritual leaders, ministers, as the bumbling, stumbling clowns of the circus, hoping to teach others by our own awkward fumbling in the spiritual life. He goes on to say, "We are not the virtuosi," he wrote, "not the masters of the trapeze or the lion tamers or the skilled riders of horses, zebras, and elephants. We're like the bumbling, stumbling clowns. They are like us," we say of circus clowns, as we watch their very human antics. Henri felt that ministers serve best when we offer our vulnerabilities, our own woundedness to others. We are the wounded healer, the bumbling, stumbling clowns of the circus. Henri Nouwen was a man of great joy. He was born in 1932 and was a Dutch Catholic priest, a professor, a writer, and a theologian. And Henri Nouwen taught all over at major universities, at the University of Notre Dame, at Yale Divinity School, at Harvard Divinity School. He once came to speak at the seminary where I was enrolled, at Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis, and I was mesmerized by his Dutch accent and his speaking style. Henri was the youngest of four children in his family in the Netherlands, and went on to have a wonderful educational career. He studied at the Jesuit Aloysius College in The Hague, before spending a year in early seminary in Apeldoorn. His year at that school was spent preparing for 6 years of study for the priesthood, consisting of training in philosophy and theology at the seminary in Rijsenburg. He was finally ordained a Catholic priest for the Archdiocese of Utrecht in 1957. And from 1957 to 1964, he studied at the Catholic University of Nijmegen. Nouwen completed his studies in 1964 by obtaining a doctorate degree in clinical psychology. From 1966 to 68, he was a professor at the University of Notre Dame. From 68 to 70, he worked at the Amsterdam Joint Pastoral Institute and taught psychology and spirituality at the Catholic Theological University of Utrecht. In 1971, he received a second doctorate, this time in theology. Between 1971 and 1981, Nouwen was a professor of pastoral theology at Yale Divinity School, and then after leaving Yale, he took a six-month trip to South America, living among the poor and indigent in Bolivia and Peru. When he returned to the United States in 1983, he he was appointed at the Harvard Divinity School as Professor of Divinity. This half-time appointment allowed Nouwen to split his time between teaching at the Harvard Divinity School and working with a theological center in Latin America, where he taught the poor. Nouwen taught at that school until 1985, and then he would move to what he called the love of his life, the L'Arche Daybreak in Ontario, Canada. Now, L'Arche Daybreak was a school for developmentally disabled individuals, and he went there as pastor and counselor in 1986, where he'd spend the last 10 years of his life working with those individuals. He died in the Netherlands in 1996 from a sudden heart attack, very young, while en route to Russia to participate in a Dutch documentary about his newest book, The Return of the Prodigal Son. He wrote 39 books in his lifetime and hundreds of essays and letters. His books have sold over 7 million copies worldwide and have been published in more than 30 languages. If you're a person of Christian heritage and you've never read a book by Henri Nouwen, I highly recommend it. After he passed away, he had an award named for him, the Henri Nouwen Leadership Award, given out by the American Association of Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities, Religion, and Spirituality Division. That's a mouthful, but he has that award named after him, the Henri Nouwen Award. There is an endowed lectureship in classical Christian spirituality named after him at Drew University. There's also an elementary school, which he was very proud of, named after him in Richmond Hill, Ontario. But the quote I want to bring you today is from a book called Here and Now, Living in the Spirit. It's a book all about how important it is to live in the present with your faith, to not worry about the past, not predict the future, but live in the present. And he has a whole section on how important it is to live our lives in joy. Listen to what he says. I'm just going to read a small section of that part of the book, Here and Now, Living in the Spirit. Joy is essential to the spiritual life. Whatever we may think of or say about God, when we are not joyful, our thoughts and words cannot bear fruit. Jesus reveals to us God's love so that God's joy may become ours and that our joy may become complete. Joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved and that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, even death, nothing can take that love away from you. Now, joy is not the same as happiness. We can be unhappy about many things, but joy can still be there because it comes from the knowledge of God's love for us. And this is my favorite part of the quote. Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. It's that quote from Henri Nouwen that I want you to let sink in, because it has so much to say about the trip the wise men, the magi, the astrologers, took all the way from the east to Jerusalem seeking the newborn king, and then as they followed the star and found their joy when it came to rest over the stable in Bethlehem. Now, I don't know if you think this story is a real story or an allegory or even a parable, but I choose to understand the story as having a great message for me, no matter where it came from. These men, these wise men, these magi, these astrologers who had understood scientifically what was happening in the heavens, that a new king was going to be born to the Jews in the Middle East, they followed up that scientific discovery, and their joy happened when they arrived. Think of all they had to go through to anticipate and find and realize that joy. The joy didn't happen in discovering the constellations that had changed, or the stars or planets that had aligned in such a way to teach them about where to go to find the newborn king. They didn't find their full fulfillment of joy in the travel, the trip they took from probably Persia, somewhere out east, all the way to the Jerusalem. They certainly didn't find joy when they showed up at the palace of King Herod and had King Herod direct them out somewhere else to the little town of Bethlehem. when they saw that the star they had been observing in the east came to rest on exactly the place where this newborn baby was going to be. That's when their joy erupted, because everything they had done to prepare for this moment, their understanding and study of the stars, their acknowledgement that these constellations and planets had come together in just this perfect way to lead them, their ability to pack up what they had and travel for weeks, maybe months on end, to arrive at a royal palace, their belief when they left that royal palace that that was not the place of a king, but that they were going to some small town called Bethlehem. All of those things, all of them added up to bring them that moment of joy. Just like Henri Nouwen says in his book Here and Now, joy doesn't simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. It's something that we need to work for. Now, granted, there are kinds of joys that come to us from us doing nothing. The unexpected windfall. I have heard during the season of Advent and Christmas that churches sometimes will help out families anonymously. They'll provide rent, or they'll provide food money. It's an unexpected joy that comes to people. They've done nothing to earn it, and yet it comes to them from a source of gifting, and it brings them joy. I know that sometimes I find joy in unexpected pleasures. Some little kid will tell me something in a children's sermon, or speak to me about something that just makes me laugh. The other day we were online looking at a church in California doing their annual Christmas pageant, and my wife and I used to do Christmas pageants every single year. So we logged on to see this Christmas pageant that was done like a broadcast, like a Zoom broadcast online. It was spectacular, by the way. Really brought us a lot of pleasure and a lot of joy, because the way in which the kids acted and the person who mixed and broadcast this particular Christmas pageant did a good job of letting kids be kids. They made mistakes, they turned the wrong direction, they made weird faces, they spoke out of turn. It was perfect, and it certainly brought us joy. But as Henri Nouwen says, joy is not just about being happy. We need to make sure we understand that. Joy is out there not happening to us as much as it is something we have to choose every single day. Now, during this particularly difficult Advent and Christmas season, maybe it's been difficult for us to find joy. Most of us are locked down and separated from our family. Whatever plans we had to attend church or to travel on a plane or to drive to see family members probably got scrapped or at the very least changed. Most everything is online these days, and although it fulfills some of our needs to see family and to be with friends, it's not the same as embracing our loved ones. Now, maybe it's difficult to find joy in this season, and for some people, the Advent and Christmas season has been difficult for some time, and it has nothing to do with the pandemic. If you've lost a loved one, a spouse or a brother or a sister or a parent that used to be instrumental to your appreciation of the joy of Advent and Christmas, maybe it took away your joy, at least for a time. I know that when my father passed away, my mother, who just adored living and being with my father, had a terrible time with Christmas. She would go to the church service and invariably have to leave for many years afterwards, especially if they sang a certain hymn that my father was deeply associated with. Every time "O Come, Emmanuel" would come up in the bulletin, she'd point to it and she'd say, "See, when they start to play that hymn, I'm going to have to leave." And we all understood what that was about. Her joy had been tied to sitting there or singing with my father in worship. And when he was gone, that hymn became not a source of joy, but a source of a very painful memory. And yet, the day came when my mother chose joy. I can remember once attending a Christmas Eve service at my home church with my mother long after my father had passed away. And she said, "Today I'm going to sit through the whole service. I'm choosing to let that hymn wash over me." I'm going to remember how wonderful it was to spend my life with him, and I'm going to enjoy that song just like he did once more. You see, she chose to find joy even in the darkest situation. Or how about music? Of course, most of you already know how important music is to me. I find tremendous joy in music, but that should come as no surprise, because the two ways I enjoy music is listening to it and playing it. If I'm listening to music, it is the culmination of a lot of hard work by musicians and producers and those who mix the tapes and put them out, people who put it online in this day and age, and the artists themselves who write the music and orchestrate the music and then sing or play the music. A lot of hard work goes into that, and they have made choices all along the way so I can listen to it and reap the benefits of all those choices. Or how about when I play music? The real joy that I get in playing music is the process by learning the tune and then being able to perform it at will. It takes a lot of practice, even those of you who don't think the banjo is much of an instrument. It takes a lot of practice to be able to play a piece on the banjo and make it come out full of joy. So you see, in all those ways, Henri Nouwen certainly is correct. The Magi and the astrologers traveling so far and only having joy when they finally arrive, the culmination of all the hard work and choices that they made. It is really true that joy is not just something that only happens to us. It is something we can choose. So I ask you, during this season of Advent and Christmas, wouldn't this be a great time to choose joy? Pick this darkest time of our existence, the hardest, most difficult Christmas some of us have lived through. For others of us, to choose joy even after we have to look back at the loss of a spouse or a parent or a child or a loved one. Can we still find some ways during Advent and Christmas that we can choose joy? Perhaps the season will remind us of how important this person was to us. Perhaps the season during the pandemic will train us and remind us how much we miss the embrace of people that we will one day return to. I offer to you this sense that Henri Nouwen tells us, you can be unhappy and still find joy. For joy is not just something that happens to you. It's something that you choose, and you have to keep on choosing it every single day. And so, I offer this prayer, a prayer of joy for all of us. Let's pray together. Loving God, you have brought us your joy. Even in our darkest times, you have brought us joy. Even when we have to experience unhappiness, you have brought us joy. So guide us and give us the courage and the strength to choose joy and to keep on choosing joy. So we, like the clowns in the circus, can keep stumbling around and become the wounded teachers, the ones who others look at and laugh at our foibles, but ultimately can also understand that we are fumbling around for the joy of Christ in our lives. May we do this knowing that the Christ child that came to Bethlehem came at a most unexpected time, in a most unexpected place, and yet the Magi, who had done everything they needed to do, when they stumbled upon the manger, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Well, my friends, the podcast is over, and I hope it has brought you some joy. And as we go out today, I'm going to add to that joy, I hope, by offering some wonderful music. This is from an album called Peace by the Boys of County Bucks, an Irish band that I was part of years ago. So my thanks to Ned and Pete and Bob and Mark and the Boys of County Bucks as we are sent out in joy. The service here is ended. Thank you.
God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. For Jesus Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. In Bethlehem and Jory this blessed babe was born, and laid within a manger upon this blessed morn, to which his mother Mary did nothing take in scorn. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas doth bring redeeming grace. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
In this hall, hear ye news today, brought from overseas, and ever high you pray. Masters in this hall, hear ye news today, brought from overseas, and ever high you pray. Noel, 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 sing we clear, helping our all folk on earth, born is God's son so dear. Noel, 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 sing we clear, helping our all folk on earth, born is God's son so dear. Then to Bethlehem town we went two by two, in a starry place we heard the oxen low. Oxen as him know, kneeling on their knee, wondrous joy had I this little babe to see. Noel, 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 sing ye clear, helping our all folk on earth, born is God's son so dear. Noel, 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 sing ye clear, helping our all folk on earth, born is God's son so dear. This is Christ the Lord, masters be glad, Christmas is coming and no folk shall be sad. Noel, 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 sing ye clear, helping our all folk on earth, born is God's son so dear. Noel, 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 sing ye clear, helping our all folk on earth, born is God's son so dear.